From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. A tribal health organization has given the city and borough of Juneau thousands of doses of the Pfizer vaccine for its next vaccination clinic. The Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium, or SERCH, donated 2,100 doses of the Pfizer vaccine for the six-day clinic that starts March 15th. On Monday at noon, Alaska residents in Juneau will be able to sign up online at juneau.org/vaccine for appointments or by calling 907-586-6000. The criteria to be eligible for a vaccine is much broader than it has been during previous clinics. Anyone 55 or older qualifies, as well as people 16 or older who have certain medical conditions or who are working as essential workers or who live in multi-generational households. Additionally, anyone 16 or older who helps someone 65 or older get vaccinated is eligible, as are many educational staff and people living or working in congregate settings like assisted living homes or jails. Anyone who makes an appointment has to be available for a second dose in early April. If you signed up for an earlier clinic and are on a wait list, you have to make a new appointment to get into this clinic. The city is asking that if you do that, you email covidquestions@juneau.org to be removed from the wait list. Translation services for anyone who wants a vaccine appointment and doesn't speak English can be arranged by calling the city at 586-6000. And after a nationwide search, Bartlett Regional Hospital's Board of Directors is closer to choosing its next chief executive officer. Of the 52 people who applied for the job, the board narrowed it down to four candidates. One withdrew her application, so there are three left. And those three are Christopher Bjornberg, currently the medical center director at the Department of Veterans Affairs in Walla Walla, Washington; Rose Lawhorn, currently chief nursing officer for Bartlett Regional Hospital; and Sean Murrow, currently the hospital administrator for LDS Hospital in Salt Lake City, Utah, and former Bartlett Regional Hospital CEO between 2007 and 2012. The three finalists will visit the hospital on March 19th for testing that involves real-world scenarios to see how they respond, according to a press release from the city. Human Resources Director Dallas Hargrave says the schedule of events for a COVID-conscious in-person or virtual public meeting will be released at a later date. Hargrave says the logistics are complicated and plans may change. The board will conduct final interviews on March 20th. The hospital's previous CEO, Chuck Bill, retired last month. Chief Financial Officer Kevin Benson is currently the interim CEO. And in other news, hikers and dog walkers along a Juneau trail last Monday spotted something unusual, an eagle hanging upside down in the trees. Although the eagle ultimately did not survive, its rescue led to a compassionate and painless end of life. KTOO's Matt Miller has more on the story.
J.D. McComas says they were tipped off by a Juneau resident who was walking the emergency vehicle access road, commonly known as the Airport Dyke Trail. In the trees near the south end of the floatplane pond was what appeared to be an eagle hanging upside down like a bat. At first, the eagle appeared dead, but then it moved and screeched a little.
We don't believe it in there for more than one day, but it had been there for quite a few hours, it seemed. It was fairly distressed.
McComas is a federal wildlife biologist. His job includes bird hazard mitigation at the Juneau International Airport, because if a seagull, raven, or eagle hits a plane or gets sucked into a jet engine, then it could be a bad day for everyone. The fire department sent a ladder truck to the airport for the eagle in the tree. Kathy Benner of the Juneau Raptor Center also arrived with some sheets and some tips on handling a large raptor.
He was amazing. I mean, that bird was at least 70 feet up, so it was a long walk for him.
It was precarious, to say the least. I'm slightly afraid of heights.
McComas was clipped to the ladder, but he says it was still tricky to maintain balance, wrap the eagle with a sheet, and free the eagle's leg from the fork of a tree branch.
I'm guessing the way it looked, it had went to leave its perch and got its body weight out in front of it, and that kept its leg pinned in between that fork and hanging upside down.
And then there was McComas's difficult climb back down the long ladder.
You're holding the bird, tucked under one arm, sort of like a football, and keeping, you know, 3 points of contact on the way down was a slow descent.
This is what it sounded like when McComas climbed off the fire truck and handed the eagle off to Benner from a video.
Can you just hold on 1 second? You don't have control of the feet?
No. He's pretty worn out.
Yeah,
I do have control of his feet.
Back at the Juneau Raptor Center, Benner says they put the eagle in a dog kennel with shredded paper and a towel as a pillow for its head. They gave it some fluids and pain medication.
The bird was in pain. He was crying out.
Benner says the male eagle showed signs that it had spent most of its time recently on the ground, but it also had difficulty standing. For the right leg that was caught in the branches, x-rays showed signs of another older injury, a previous break that did not heal properly. The left leg was swollen, too.
The bird's range of motion was impaired. It was contributing to this bird not being able to hunt and catch food.
Benner says even before it found itself stuck in a tree, it was starving. So they euthanized the eagle, put it to sleep.
So if he hadn't been rescued, he could still be up there, for all we know, dying a very slow, painful death.
She says it will be sent down to a federal facility for permanent cold storage, which is routine for a protected species. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
The Haines Avalanche Center and the Great Bear Foundation recently hosted an informational presentation about winter bear dens in Haines. The discussion came in the wake of two dangerous encounters with bears last month. As KHNS's Henry Leisha reports, presenters shared information from ongoing bear research in the Chilkat Valley to help people safely navigate backcountry areas in the wintertime.
It has been a few weeks since a local backcountry snowboarder was mauled by a bear after coming across its den near Chilkoot Lake. While bears are usually less mobile in the wintertime, Haines Avalanche Center educator Jeff Moskowitz said that bear habitat is just one more feature to consider when assessing risk while recreating in the backcountry.
Skiers and riders in the backcountry, we need to not only see the terrain as a ski run, we need to see it as an avalanche path. So the same could be true as not only our place to go recreate and have fun in the backcountry, but also bear territory and entire ecosystems.
Fish and game biologist Anthony Krupe has been researching bears in the northern Lynn Canal region for years and is currently working on a population study. He's been tracking their movements and monitoring reproductive rates, survival, and spatial distribution, among other things. Krupe says that bears will set up a den in order to survive the winter's inclement weather and limited food resources. It helps them conserve energy.
While they're in the den conserving energy, their body temperatures decrease by 10 to 12 degrees. Their heart rate severely decreases 20 to 40%, and their metabolism shuts down 50 to 60%. While they're in the den, they lose all that body fat that they've stored over the summer months, and they can lose a quarter to a half of their body mass.
Krupe says although the bears enter torpor, a state of suspended physical activity, it doesn't mean they can't be disturbed while in their dens. When building a den, bears will often hollow out a cavity underneath the roots of a large tree or a boulder. Others may excavate into the side of a steep hill. According to Krupe, they tend to build their dens at an elevation of about 2,000 to 3,000 feet. The angle of the slope is usually around 35 to 45 degrees. At one point in the presentation, Krupe showed where winter bear dens are most likely to be found in popular local skiing areas like Mount Rapinski, Old Faithful, and Telemark Ridge.
You can see there's some places where, you know, your chances are better for kind of creating travel routes. And some places it's just, where we like to ski happens to be exactly where bears like to den. And, you know, we just have to be really mindful when we're skiing and recreating in those areas.
Krupe urged backcountry users to look for signs of holes that may have been dug out by bears, make lots of noise, and carry bear spray when exploring slopes around the Chilkat Valley. A video recording of the full presentation is available on the Alaska Avalanche Information Center's YouTube page. In Haines, I'm Henry Leisha.
Alaska legislators, their staff, and others who work in the Capitol will be able to get COVID-19 vaccinations starting today. The Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium is offering the shots to the 450 people who work at in the Capitol. For more on this story, you can go to ktoo.org. This is KTOO News.